Morning and happy Mother's Day. I'd like you to turn to the 94th Psalm before we turn to our text in 1 Samuel. I'd like to kind of set the table for what we're about to read in chapter 4 of Samuel. And I believe this psalm that we read here, this one titled the 94th, is a good way to do that. If you're with me in Psalms 94, we begin in verse 1. O Lord God, to whom vengeance belongeth, O God, to whom vengeance belongeth, show thyself. Lift up thyself, thou judge of the earth. Render a reward to the proud. Lord, how long shall the wicked triumph? How long shall they utter and speak hard things? And all the workers of iniquity boast themselves. They break in pieces thy people, O Lord, and afflict thine heritage. They slay the widow and the stranger and murder the fatherless. Yet they say, the Lord shall not see, neither shall the God of Jacob regard it. Understand, ye brutish among the people, and ye fools, when will ye be wise? He that planted the ear, shall he not hear? He that formed the eye, shall he not see? He that chastiseth the heathen, shall not he correct? He that teacheth man knowledge, shall not he know? The Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, and they are vanity. Blessed is the man whom thou chastenest, O Lord, and teachest him out of thy law, that thou mayest give him rest from the days of adversity until the pit be digged for the wicked. For the Lord will not cast off his people, neither will he forsake his inheritance. But judgment shall return unto righteousness, and all the upright in the heart shall follow it. Who will rise up for me against the evildoers? Or who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? Unless the Lord had been my help, my soul had almost dwelt in silence. When I said, my foot slippeth, thy mercy, O Lord, held me up. In the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul. Shall the throne of iniquity have fellowship with thee, which frameth mischief by the law? They gather themselves together against the soul of righteous and condemn the innocent blood. But the Lord is my defense, and my God is the rock of my refuge. And he shall bring upon them their own iniquity, and shall cut them off in their own wickedness. Yea, the Lord our God shall cut them off. Our God is good in all that he does. Everything. Even cancer. Even the death of a loved one. Even the attack from people outside this country upon this own country, killing 3,000 innocent people in two towers in one day. Our God is good in all that he does. In our text in 1 Samuel chapter 4, we will profit to recall a couple of verses from chapter 3. So as you're turning them over to your text in chapter 4, allow me to read chapter 3, verse 11. And the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I will do a thing in Israel, at which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle. And in that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end, for I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever. Remember that the two sons of Eli were wicked in their dealings with God's people, and Eli turned a soft eye toward that. His sons towards his son's ways. As we read in verse 13, he restrained them not. Folks, we're in a war. A war between truth and lies. There are countless, countless people who attend religious meetings who claim to be followers of Christ, but they're nothing more than followers of the work of men. They worship on Saturdays. They pray to their priests or dead others that have already died and gone before them that they call the saints. Or they get baptized. Or they walk down the aisle and make a decision for God. Those are lies. And it sure seems like those lies are a lot bigger than the truth is out there in the world. We just read in the Psalms, when I said my foot slippeth, thy mercy, O Lord, held me up. In the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul. But the Lord is my defense, and my God is the rock of my refuge. And he shall bring down upon them their own iniquity, and shall cut them off in their own wickedness. Yea, the Lord our God shall cut them off. Well, this is exactly what we're going to see here in chapter 4. Verse 1. And the word of Samuel came to all of Israel. Now, in other words, that means that all of Israel was aware that Samuel was a man of God, a prophet who was declared, who declares, thus saith the Lord. Remember in verse 20 of chapter 3, we read, and all Israel from Dan even to Beersheba knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. All of Israel knew who the man of God was. But yet, as we are about to see in these next few verses, none sought counsel from God. None came to the messenger of God to seek the counsel of the Lord. Continuing in verse 1, now Israel went out against the Philistines to battle and pitched beside Ebenezer. And the Philistines pitched in Aphek. And the Philistines put themselves in an array against Israel. And when they had joined battle, Israel was smitten before the Philistines, and they slew of the army in the field about 4,000 men. These people went into battle, and they didn't even bother to talk to the man of God that they knew who the man of God was. Many, many people around us know what is preached right here at this church. They know who this man is. Do they need to come and seek counsel, Lord, or Pastor? No, they don't, do they? That's because they don't want to. They don't care to. They want to do it their way. They want to do it man's way. Look at verse 3. And when the people were come into the camp after the slaughter, the elders of the Israel said, wherefore hath the Lord smitten us today before the Philistines? Let us fetch the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of Shiloh unto us, that when it cometh among us, it may save us out of the hand of our enemies. Allow me to quote from Robert Hawker's commentary on this third verse. What an awful character is man. Void of the teachings of divine grace. Had Israel been humbled under the mighty hand of God, and had the elders of Israel with prayer and supplication consulted the ark of God instead of presumptuously bringing the ark out of the sacred spot where God had appointed it to be placed, well, maybe then all might have been well. But by this daring act, unauthorized of God, and as it should almost seem in defiance from the expression wherever the Lord hath smitten us, they evidently manifested that punishment instead of humbling and hardened minds. Dear reader, if under divine visitations, instead of flying to Jesus, We take up the mere profession of religion of Jesus and trust in the form of godliness, void of the power of it, then where do we differ from them? I say that, amen to that. Where do we differ? There are those who will take their beads and pray when they go into battle, Lord, and they'll pray with their beads. Or they'll go in, they'll sit in a little booth and talk to a man to resolve them of their sins. What just happened here with these folks taking that ark would be just like if you went into battle and said, I'm going to be fine because I've been baptized. Is that not correct? Or I have my tool. I go to the Lord's table twice a month. I have my right there. All right, I've got this book. There's my sword right here. I've got this. I'm going to battle with this. Or I've made my decision to follow Christ. That's my battle. It's exactly what these folks did. And for by the grace of God, there go we. Every one of us. If it wasn't by the grace of God, I would still be wandering around out there thinking, I'm okay. I'm all right. I've done some pretty wild things in my life. But I've never killed anybody. At least not physically killed them. Maybe in my mind I have. The Lord says, you know, if you do something in your mind, you've done it. Those who rely on their religion for their salvation will sorely be disappointed. They will sorely be disappointed in the day of judgment. Those who depend on their traditions will be gnashing their teeth. Those who have counted on their decision that they made for Christ will be confounded. And those who trusted in anything other than Christ will be cut off. But for the grace of God, there we go we. But for the grace of God, we seek Christ in all that we do. But for the grace of God, we look to Him for our strength. But for the grace of God, we trust only in Him and have no confidence in our own flesh. By God's grace, we will seek His counsel in deciding the direction of our paths. By God's grace, we will get through the trials that we are faced with in this life, but only by His grace. You see, the eternal love that He has for His chosen people, that eternal love that brought Him down from heaven, is the same eternal love that will keep His chosen people through the ages to come. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him so freely give us all things? He spared not His own Son for our sakes. He's our captain. Why would we go to battle without Him? He's our power. Why would we go to battle without Him? The same love that He displayed by laying down His own life, shedding His own blood as our substitute, redeeming us unto Himself, this is the love that will keep us in times of trial. Why would we look anywhere else? Turn over to Romans 8, verse 33. As we consider the battle when it comes to us. When those who are in our immediate family, those who we call friends, come to us with their own version of who Christ is. How do we deal with that? How do we fight that battle? The same way we fight every battle. We turn it over to the Lord. We put it in His hands. We look to Him. And if He reminds us of something of His Scripture to say, great. If He wants us to say it, He'll remind us of it. He'll give us what we need. Is that correct? And if not, who are we to fight it? Let it be. It is the Lord's. Let Him do with as He sees fit. Isn't that what Eli said about his sons? In Romans 8:33, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. If God be for us, who can be against us? Our Lord sits on His throne making intercession for us right now. Will He not fight our battles for us? Will He not bring victory? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or a sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Well, how could you be anything less? This is why I like the God that I see in Scripture. Because He is worthy of being called God. He will not fail at anything. For I am persuaded, in verse 38, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature, and just in case you may have come up with something else that wasn't listed there, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Folks, He has bought us. He's paid the price. How shall He not give us all things? You know, Brother Mike spoke of a refreshing cold drink of water in Friday night's Bible study. Oh, what a refreshing drink that was. Brother Bill, as some of you may have been or here, has mentioned many times, why would I go with you there, John, when I drink the cup of living water right here at Rescue? Yeah. This is refreshing indeed. The true and living God will never forsake His blood-bought people. In the verse 94, or 14 of that Psalm 94, it said, for the Lord will not cast off His people, neither will He forsake His inheritance. Oh, how I love to sing, I am His and He is mine. And that song, oh, how I love Jesus, because He first loved me. Pastor.
Thank you, John.